Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. You might have a dream age in mind for when you hope to retire, but according to the latest Mercer Retirement Readiness Barometer, investment management fees might set back that retirement date. Jillian Kennedy is partner and leader of defined contribution and financial wellness at Mercer Canada. She's here to talk about the results of the barometer and what you can do about what she has found. Hello there.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me here today.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. I love a barometer. What does it read?
So what the barometer reads is basically we got curious and we wanted to know how fees would make a difference for the average Canadian. Mm. We decided to take two personas. The first persona was just an individual investing on their own, maybe through a financial institution, mm-hmm. however they choose to do that. We have data that shows us the median fee that, you know, an average person would pay as an individual is about 1.9%. Mm-hmm. But we also wanted to take a look at a persona that was actually saving differently through their mm-hmm. employer workplace program. And here at Mercer, we collect all of that data. We've been collecting that data for a long time. And we saw that the fees were 0.6%. And so, Bruce, we got curious and we wanted to know what that difference would mean in retirement years. So how much longer would someone have to work, or how much sooner could they actually not have to work and start to pay themselves as income in retirement?
And the answer?
Well, the answer is you're going to have to work an extra 4 years
if you
do not take advantage of that workplace program.
Yeah. Yeah. I am both surprised and horrified. I'm actually not that surprised. I'm horrified, but not that surprised with the finding, given how fee focused I have been for the last 15 years or so. I want to ask how the barometer, how the reading compares to previous years. This is round number three for you.
That's right. Yeah. And so the very first barometer we did was just, we just wanted to take a look at, you know, different generations of Canadians and how they saved. We took a look at, you know, kind of the millennial generation all the way up to the generation that would be retiring probably within the next 5 years, the boomer generation. And we wanted to see, you know, what kind of retirement ages they would achieve and kind of what were some areas that they could boost their savings. And we were quite surprised to see that we learned three things. One was you absolutely need to have personal savings. It's so important to pay attention to the long-term goal. And often we pay attention to things that are instant, that are happening in our lives right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe we even have a defeated attitude and we think, well, what's the point? And that first study showed that there is a point, and it's so important that if you have a retirement age that you want to reach, that you absolutely need to start saving as early as possible.
Not enough Canadians have a workplace pension, defined contribution or defined benefit. I've been saying that for years and years and years. So what would our listeners who don't have the benefit of that kind of a program, what do they do with this information?
So I think it's, you know, and you said it, Bruce, it's really important to pay attention to the fees that you pay. And I think often what we do is we, you know, especially now, I mean, let's face it, there's a lot going on in the financial markets right now. You know, we went from having so much money in the system that it felt like everybody, even your neighbor, could just make money by doing a stock trade. Mm. And, you know, now we're seeing, you know, maybe the reverse, who knows? But I think what we often do is we pay attention to what goes into our pocket. So let's call it the return, you know, what we make. You start at a dollar, you end with $100. We don't pay enough attention to how fees erode those savings. Mm. And I always try to say, if you're earning 1%, that's great. But if you're paying, you know, 0.9% at the end of the day, you don't have much left. And so I think it really, really shines a very bright light on the importance of fees and how that compounds over time. And just, it's like a parachute holding you back from your savings.
The other thing that you articulate, which I don't think we talk about enough, is that the fee dynamic is relevant as you save. But for a lot of conversations, that's where it stops. Like I'm saving. It was slower when I was saving because I dealt with these fees. But the other piece that you highlight is in decumulation, if you continue to pay those fees, it's going to eat into that nest egg that you spent so many years building.
That's exactly right. And so we took the same personas and we took a look at, well, what if you were doing everything right? You're paying, you know, you're leveraging your workplace program, or you're really paying, a close attention to fees, But then you get to age 65, you get overwhelmed, you just want to retire, and you go into those high fees again. And we actually saw that you would actually draw down your savings, so run out of money 5 years earlier than if you had paid attention to fees. And here's the kicker. We also looked at someone who didn't pay attention to fees, both while they were saving and while they were in retirement. And it was actually 12 years that they would have their savings run out. Wow. And, you know, to me, that is just, we're talking about, you know, that is nothing that somebody might plan and, you know, could even result in poverty in retirement. And so these were big learnings for us here at Mercer.
We have a very, very diverse audience. We have individuals of all ages, stages, and levels of, you know, economic health. We also have people who are thought leaders and who have sway in organizations. I'm going to put a little asterisk by everything you say, given what you do for a living, like you clearly believe in defined contribution, but let's park that aside for a second. And I want you to make the case for why employers need to double down on providing this kind of a benefit to the people who work for them.
Absolutely. So we have also, you know, been tracking financial well-being of the average Canadian and how they feel. And we have seen, you know, this explosion of this kind of fear of running out of money, or let's call it long-term financial security, and the erosion of the everyday person's financial well-being. We all know that if we don't take care of the finances, that will affect our health. It will affect our stress levels. It eventually will even affect our mental health in the workplace. And so we have seen, you know, a pretty good recognition of employers saying, it is important for me to think about how I help my employees to save, to have a good relationship with money. And ultimately, they trust you with their long-term financial security almost more than they trust themselves. And so this is a real opportunity, we think, for an employer to just add that extra value and think about, you know, a one-stop shop for an employee who works for you to be able to access all things to improve their health, their mental health, and their finances.
So this is a bit outside the barometer question, but I want to ask you while you're here, where are you seeing innovation in the defined contribution pension world that is notable, that is worth highlighting? So is it things like save more tomorrow? Is it things like employers who are really having success in signing people up to programs or providing some flexibility on what that defined benefit looks like? I mean, I've heard of employers who allow you to save for a down payment on a house for 50% of your the amount withdrawn off your paycheck, whatever. What are a couple of examples of where you see innovation? Or is the conversation we have just had the exact same conversation we would have had a decade ago?
I don't think we can ignore two things that are happening in the market. One is that, you know, regulators are starting to pay attention in this area, and there's a lot of tools that are now going to be provided to employers to boost participation. Right? We see this in other geographies, this whole concept of like automatically enrolling someone into pay, yeah, maybe something that's in their best interest and having them opt out has a really big effect on increasing participation. So we have to recognize that that's a great development. But I think the other big, you know, piece, and this isn't unique to finances, it's happened to all of us throughout this pandemic, is the digitization. Right. So we're now able to say it's not just about pension. It's not just about something you're not really going to pay attention to until your 50s. It's about your journey to get there. Right. And the ability to actually personalize something to you. I'm struggling with debt. Okay, access this information. I'm struggling with just understanding basic concepts of savings. I need to boost my literacy. Access this information. So this, it allows the average employer or even the average employee more transparency, access to resources and providers that can help them. That, you know, I think we always think it's about investment advice, but our research shows, you know, the psychotherapy or 101 of finances is just as important to get you there. And so we think that this digitization of bringing, you know, resources, providers, and, you know, kind of putting it in one spot so that it's easy to access is a game changer.
Jillian, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Jillian Kennedy, partner and leader of defined contribution and financial wellness at Mercer Canada. She was here to talk about the Mercer Retirement Readiness Barometer. That's a bit of a mouthful, but I think I did extraordinarily well articulating what that was all about.